So I feel better than I sound. And you know, I always expect to feel better by Sunday. And my voice is... We'll see about that. A couple of people have already mentioned, well, I guess we'll be getting a short sermon today. And I don't even know what to say to that anymore. I do greatly appreciate Brother Glenn, and he did a great job last Sunday, and he gave a great introduction to Job and to the passage that he preached on. He didn't tell you the whole story about me encouraging him to preach the passage last Sunday. I said, you could preach the passage that I had planned to preach. And that's becoming more common in churches, that they have a group of people that preach and they go to a book of the Bible and this one says, I'll preach this part, and you preach this part. It's kind of a team approach, and there's definitely something to be said about that. And last week's passage was just a great passage, and I said I'd be... Maybe you ought to preach the passage I was going to preach. And I said, or you could preach on tithing, or you could preach on whatever you want to preach on. The tithing part's just a joke, because one of the times I was out, I said, hey, why don't you preach on tithing? And he did. Glenn is our chairman of the Budget and Finance Committee, and so why do I have to be the one that preaches on money all the time? But he did a great job with that as well. So that was just kind of a little preacher joke between preachers. I'm thankful to have a good preaching deacon, that he's willing to use his spiritual gifts in that way. Every time you go to church nowadays, we have been conditioned to believe that you ought to always leave uplifted. You should always leave encouraged. You should always leave happier than you went in. I try to do that, but you know, there are some things that just have to be addressed, and not life can be hard. And I know I've been talking about that a while, but life can be hard, and it would be a disservice to tell you that everything's good, and if you just trust Jesus, everything will be perfect. Because when it's not, you're not going to be equipped to handle the difficult times. And so, in all fairness, and because the Bible touches on all of these subjects, it's important to preach the whole counsel of God, and not just the parts that inspire us or encourage us or tell us that we are forgiven, and that's all important. But there's some parts of the Scripture that are there to help us in the tough times of life. And in Job chapter 3, go ahead and turn there. In Job chapter 3, this has got to be one of the saddest passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. And I wrestled with this passage all week, and I've tried to figure out how to present this message. But I want you to know this. I want you to know that the Bible is real about people's lives. And that's one of the things that helps us to know that the Bible is true and trustworthy, is that the great heroes of the Bible had problems. They had failures, many of them big failures. And that helps us to know that the Bible is true and trustworthy, because the Bible presents these heroes of the faith with their problems and their shortcomings. It also helps us to relate to them. Because who here has not had failures and problems, even big ones? And we can relate to the Scripture. Some of you, not all of you, can relate to the pain of great loss. And if you can't relate to it, you probably have people you know that have experienced great loss. And this passage is a passage that helps us to know that even people of faith had difficult times, and they came out with God's help. In Job chapter 2, at the end, verses 11 through 13, Brother Glenn brought out the truth that I hoped he would and I figured he would, because the Bible doesn't say different things to different people. It says what it says. And he brought out the idea that sometimes we need to be a friend to the suffering. And one of the best ways you can be a friend to the suffering is to just be there. When I went to seminary, I was so excited the first time. You know, I've gone back. I don't know. I guess I didn't get enough the first time. But one of the things I was looking forward to in seminary was I was going to go study with those who had all the answers. And I took a pastoral ministry class, and he was saying, do you want to know what to say to people in their difficult times? Man, I leaned in and I was ready to take notes. And he said, probably nothing. Just be there. Just be there. I wanted a refund of my tuition. But I have come to understand since then that one of the best things you can do is just be there. And as Glenn rightly pointed out, Job's friends didn't get in trouble until they opened their mouths. They were good friends until they opened their mouths. The same professor said, don't say stupid stuff to try to comfort people. It's better just to be quiet and let them know that you love them, that you're there for them, that you're here, that you're going to stay with them, that you're going to help them, instead of trying to come up with dumb sayings to make people feel better. And we all mean well during those times. We just don't know what to say. Job would give you permission this morning not to say anything. Just be there. And don't feel obligated to come up with something that may not be true, that may not be biblical, just to try to make someone feel better. The best way to be a friend to the suffering is just to be there. And that's what they did. They just got in trouble when they started trying to explain things that they just didn't understand themselves. I can't read this entire passage because I'm running out of bandwidth already here. But you'll get the idea from Job chapter 3 beginning in verse 1. And to set the stage, Job and his friends have been sitting in the dust, sackcloth and ashes, lowest to the ground as they could get, for what, 7 days? Folks, that's the epitome of grief. And the friends did it with him, which is a sign of great friendship. We need friends like that, and our friends need friends like that. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, let the day perish on which I was born, and the night that said a man is conceived, let that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor light shine upon it. Let gloom and deep darkness claim it. Let clouds dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. That night, let the thick darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful cry enter it. Let those curse it who curse the day, who are ready to rouse up Leviathan. Let the stars of its dawn be dark. Let it hope for light but have none, nor see the eyelids of the morning. Because it did not shut the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide trouble from my eyes. And the rest of this passage continues in that same feeling. Basically, he says, I wish I hadn't been born. Life has been so painful for me of late. I wish that I had not been born. And let's remember his troubles. He lost all of his children. He lost all of his wealth. He lost his health. There is absolutely nothing left for Job except his friends and his God. And he doesn't understand why he's going through these things. He is at the rock bottom. You've heard of the rock bottom. Some of you have visited the rock bottom. Some of you have stayed at the rock bottom for some time. Job was a great man of faith, but even the great man of faith, who even God was proud of and kind of bragged on, even Job got to the point where he said, I wish I hadn't been born. I wish I hadn't been born. I wish I hadn't been conceived. I wish I would have died at childbirth. He is at the bottom. This morning I want you to know that there is hope at the bottom. There is hope at the bottom. And if you are there, or if you've been there, and there's a good, we'll all visit there at some point. I want you to know that there is hope in God in the bottom. And you couldn't read much sadder words, more desperate words, more poignant words of grief than what Job says about his life in Job chapter 3. Skipping down to verse 24, he says, for my sighing comes instead of my bread. He sighed. He was so overwhelmed, he just sighed a lot, I guess. And my groanings are poured out like water. He's just groaning in physical and spiritual and emotional agony. For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. Evidently, he really feared the loss of his children. Remember, he prayed for them. He made sacrifices for them. He was afraid of losing his wealth, all that he had. He says, that thing that I feared is here. I'm experiencing it. He says, I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. Now, Shane, why do you think I need to hear about this? Because you may go through a time like this in your life. And you may have friends and family. They're going to go through times like this. And God wants to use you to minister to the suffering. And so there's a good chance that you're going to go through something. And there's a good chance that somebody you know and care about is going to go through something. And you need to know that there is hope in God at the bottom. What do they say? Something about when you're at the bottom, you can only look up. And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing, is to look up. In fact, I want to close with Psalm 42:11. Psalm 42:11. I want you to turn there, if you would. I'd like for you to write it down, because you may need this someday, or someone you love may need it. You know, the psalmist also experienced times of great despair, great loss. The psalmist, usually King David, he was hunted by his enemies, by his family. He spent a lot of time separated from his family, and they were his enemies. They tried to kill David, and he knew what it was like to be low. Many of you have heard of Charles Spurgeon. He was a great British preacher. A lot of people quote Spurgeon on Facebook. You'll see a lot of Spurgeon quotes. Spurgeon, one of they call him the Prince of Preachers. Spurgeon dealt with great loss in his life and depression, deep depression. It is said that he had to take long vacations to the coast during the harsh winters of London because he got so depressed. God's people, I'm sorry to say, are not immune from difficulty. Some preacher might tell you that if you become a Christian, your life will be easy. It'll go good. Everything will be good. It's just not what the Bible teaches, folks. But let me tell you, it's better with God than without God. So Psalm 42:11, why are you cast down, my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. In verse 10, he talks about his enemies taunting him and just the turmoil he's going through. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? And he is downcast. He is depressed. He's discouraged. But the Spirit of God, the soul within him, tells him to look up. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? You might be at the rock bottom someday. You may be discouraged, depressed, and not know why. The circumstances of life could be difficult. And you may say to yourself, why are you cast down? Why are you in turmoil? Because life happens. But he gives us something that I want to leave you with this morning. And that is, when life is hard, hope in God. Even when you're at the bottom and things you think could not be worse, hope in God. You may need to hear that this morning. There may be people in your life, either now or in the future, and you need to remember this verse and you need to say, this is hard, but I'm going to tell you, hope in God. Amen? And look what he says. For I shall again praise him. You know, you can praise God, you can worship God in the hard times. But what I have known is that oftentimes things get better. And we need to remember things are gonna get better. Things are probably gonna get better. God is gonna see me through this, and I'm going to praise him again. But I also want you to know that you can praise him during those difficult circumstances as well. You'll remember that our man Job, he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You should praise him in the good times, but you should certainly praise him in the hard times. Remember our man Job said, should we only receive blessing from God and not affliction or whatever the word was? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. Here's the truth. He is my salvation and my God. He is my Savior. He is the one who will save me no matter what. He is my God. My God. When you think you're at the bottom, God is there. He is there. So as you leave here today, some of you are in the thick of it right now. And I want to say to you, hope in God. When you've got nothing left and you're hanging on for dear life, hope in God. And that hope is not in vain. It's not a waste of time. For I shall again praise him. And then when you come to a time where you have a friend, a family, a coworker, a neighbor, they're going through a hard time, they're feeling the pain of loss and suffering, would you tell them, hope in God? That's a lot better than some of the other things that we say to people during their times of grief because we just don't know what else to say. How about don't say anything and encourage people to hope in God? Amen? When life is hard, hope in God. When life is good, hope in God. You know what the constant there is? Hope in God. I'm glad I can tell you, stand before you this morning and say, hope in God. He is worthy of your hope. And that's been my experience. But most importantly, that's the experience that the Bible teaches. And that's what Job would tell you if he were here. That's what other heroes of the Bible would say if they were here. They would say, life is hard sometimes. Hope in God. Let's pray together.